The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Norfolk Southern reaches a settlement for residents of East Palestine, Ohio. Latest on the UAW union drive in Alabama. The state of Washington enacting new worker protection laws. And today on the show, the latest from the Valley Labor Report and Insulators Local 69 in Salt Lake City. Welcome to the Wednesday, April 10th edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with someone who is almost a regular here on America's Workforce. Love talking to this guy. He is a fighter in the South, the mouth of the South for unions. That would be Adam Keller. Adam is co-host and co-producer of the Valley Labor Report. If you have not checked them out yet, I urge you to do so. Real simple. TVLR.FM. TVLR.FM. Adam is co-host, co-producer of the Valley Report. He's the political coordinator for IATSE 900 and also a trustee with the North Alabama Area Labor Council. And one of the things we're going to delve into right away is some anti-union legislation that is happening in several states in the South. The title of this is Senate Bill 231. It was filed in mid-session by a Republican state senator by the name of Arthur Orr. And this would punish companies for simply cooperating with labor unions. That's right. The bill would actually prohibit state incentives for any company that voluntarily recognizes a union. Can you believe that? Now, you probably know that voluntary recognition is one of the two pathways to unionize under federal law, alongside NLRB elections. If 50% plus one of the employees sign authorization cards, the company can voluntarily recognize the union and then move on to the next step of bargaining a contract. It's real simple. Now, if passed, the legislation would almost certainly end up in court because there's a number of questions whether or not it's legal. One would think if a lawmaker wanted to pass some legislation in a certain state, that lawmaker would do some research to find out whether or not they were doing something legal versus illegal. Adam reports this, if it does pass, it could very well prevent some businesses from locating in Alabama, as there are high-profile examples like minor league baseball that voluntarily recognized the players' union, as well as Microsoft, which has signed a neutrality agreement with the Communication Workers of America. It's crazy, just crazy. This is legislation that's backed by ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, and it's happened also in Georgia. We talked about it last week with Dave Jamison of the Huffington Post, and also in Tennessee. So that's one thing we're going to get into. And the other part is education and organizing. Given what's going on, it's so important that we educate our brothers and sisters about all this. And at the North Alabama Area Labor Council, Adam is continuing to work to expand education and outreach. They held a seminar recently reaching out to various unions explaining what's going on, why it's going on, and what we need to do to stop it. So Adam Keller will be our first guest on the show. Our second guest on the show is Stephen Overby. Now, Steve is the business manager of Insulators Local 69, which is based in Salt Lake City. They have about 100 members, but they will be growing, and I'll get to that in a minute. But their jurisdiction is rather enormous. They cover all of Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, and Nevada. That's a pretty good territory. Why are they growing? Well, I'll tell you. Micron. Micron Technologies struck a deal for construction of a $15 billion chip-making facility, thus giving the company an advantage in the fierce competition for federal funds. All this has to go back to the good policy coming out of Washington. We're talking about the CHIPS Act, providing billions of dollars for a number of chips plants all around the country, including Central Ohio, which we have talked about a whole lot here on the show. Also, Meta, formerly known as Facebook, they have a project in Idaho and Utah about to kick off. We'll touch on that. And also, phase three of the Salt Lake City Airport. So that could involve a couple of years for the trades and the possibility that Utah will host the Olympics in 2034. And that will add a fourth phase. So we're talking a lot of work. And these are right-to-work states, too. Good stuff there for the Insulators Local 69. All right, now a brief look into the world of labor. The segment brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at boydwatterson.com. Norfolk Southern announced yesterday that they have reached a $600 million settlement in a class action lawsuit over the toxic train derailment near East Palestine, Ohio last year. The company announced the settlement had been signed in to principle and still requires approval from the judge. Now, the derailment, which was in February of last year, involved a train that was carrying 20 cars with at least five toxic chemicals, including vinyl chloride, which has been linked to liver damage and a rare form of liver cancer. 11 of those 20 cars derailed. Norfolk Southern said the agreement would resolve class action claims within a 20-mile radius of the derailment and personal injury claims of those within a 10-mile radius of the derailment. In addition, individuals within 10 miles of that derailment may, at their discretion, choose to receive additional compensation for any past, current, or future personal injury from the derailment. Now, here's the catch. The company also said the settlement does not include or constitute any admission of liability, wrongdoing, or fault. This happens all the time. They will pay a whole lot of money, but they'll say they didn't do anything wrong. We all know the real story on that one. Well, there's some people speaking out on this. We're going to get more details on this later in the week, and I urge you to check our show tomorrow. I urge you to check our show every day, but tomorrow we are going to talk with the chief of safety at the Smart Union. That's the Sheet Metal Air, Rail, and Transportation Division of the Sheet Metal Workers Union. And he is going to get into what's been going on with the railroads long before East Palestine, Ohio. United Auto Workers filed for an election at an Alabama Mercedes-Benz factory. This was on Friday. After a supermajority of workers there signed authorization cards, the union has accused Mercedes of employing union-busting tactics, and the company even held a mandatory staff meeting with the newly retired Alabama football coach, Nick Saban. Now, fans of the coach, well, you should be relieved to hear that Saban, who has expressed vaguely pro-union sentiments in the past, did not urge employees to oppose the UAW's organizing drive. How many times have I said they pull out all the stops? They bring in Nick Saban on this one. A recent German law regulating international supply chains might also bolster the UAW's campaigns at plants owned by German automakers, including that Mercedes plant in Alabama and Volkswagen's plant in Tennessee, where workers will vote later this month. The law, which was backed by German social democrats and unions, is meant to ensure that corporations based in Germany do not undercut German workers by exploiting workers in other countries. And that's exactly what they're doing. The law specifies a list of human rights standards, including the right to organize a union, which German companies must not infringe in their operations abroad. Violations of the law can cost a German company up to 2% of its annual revenue in fines, and it can jeopardize contracts with the German government. And one more here. The state of Washington has enacted new worker protection laws. Governor Inslee signed a slate of bills last week protecting workers, including the Employee Free Choice Act, a law that prohibits employers from disciplining or firing employees who refuse to attend captive audience meetings. With the governor's signature, which should happen this week, Washington becomes the seventh state to ban captive audience meetings. It will join New York, Minnesota, Maine, Connecticut, Oregon, and Wisconsin in a growing wave of regulation taking aim at captive audience meetings. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Adam Keller on behalf of the Valley Labor Report coming up next.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Attention members of the Heat and Frost Insulators Union who are interested in traveling. Central Ohio has more construction projects on the books than anywhere in the U.S. Mega projects, large and medium-sized jobs are creating more work than our local 50 brothers and sisters can handle. Projects like Intel, the Honda LG battery plant, and multiple data centers for Facebook, Google, and Amazon offer union wages, overtime, and exciting incentives. Local 50 is seeking union travelers to meet the needs of its signatory contractors who can put you to work immediately. If you're a member in good standing and interested in the work opportunities in Central Ohio, visit insulators50.com/AWF travel. For more information. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Ironworkers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, labor's trusted health partner, bringing people, communities, and care together to transform the future of health. For more information, please visit anthem.com/labor and trust. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
This portion of the show brought to you by the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craftworkers. For more information, please visit bacweb.org. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Labor Federation. Let's go to the state of Alabama. And welcome back to the show, Mr. Adam Keller, who is co-host and co-producer of the Valley Labor Report. Once again, that website, do check it out, TVLR.FM, and they're now in four states and growing, and they've only been on the air for only about three and a half years right now. Facebook, podcast, four radio stations, three states. Adam, welcome back to the show, and I was telling our listeners at the beginning about this crazy, crazy move by a number of states, including Alabama, where they punish companies for simply cooperating with labor unions. Adam, I'm going to turn it over to you. This makes no sense, and it may not even be legal. Go ahead, my brother.
Yes. It is really disappointing to see state legislatures across the South and across the country embrace this sort of legislation. So what we're talking about in Alabama is Senate Bill 231. And what it would do is punish companies for cooperating with labor unions. Specifically, it would prohibit state incentives for any company that voluntarily recognizes a union. And so, in effect, the state is using state power and resources to encourage worse labor relations, which is really, you know, mind-boggling, right? It's the exact opposite direction we should be going in. This bill was filed by Republican State Senator Arthur Orr out of Decatur up here in North Alabama. This is the same fellow who sponsored the school choice private school voucher scheme. He also is sponsoring the loosening of child labor laws for 14 and 15-year-olds. So he's been quite busy with a corporate agenda. And this bill is backed by ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is funded by the Koch family and other shadowy, you know, dark money interests, billionaire-backed group. And so they've been shopping it around, like you said. It's passed in Georgia recently. I know you've covered that. Before that, it came from Tennessee. My understanding was in Tennessee, it was in large part a reaction to Ford announcing that they would have a neutrality and recognition agreement with the UAW at the new facility coming into Tennessee. Right. And that really irritated the anti-union politicians. We have been fighting down here in the South, especially here in the South, for community benefits agreements when it comes to economic development. Right. And trying to attach strings to public spending to encourage good behavior, good corporate behavior, support and investment in the community, and, of course, better labor relations. So fighting for neutrality agreements and card check agreements is often part of the community benefits agreement negotiations. But again, you know, this bill would take that off the table. As you said, there's questions about its legality, right? Because voluntary recognition is one of our legally recognized pathways to a union. It's protected by the NLRA. You know, most of our listeners will know that voluntary recognition is one of the two paths. The other path, of course, is to sign or to complete an NLRB election, but it's not always necessary. If 50% plus one of the employees sign authorization cards, they can go to the company and say, hey, we've unionized. We have a clear majority support. Go ahead and recognize us as the bargaining agent, and let's get to work on negotiating a first contract. That's what happened with my current employer, Alabama Arise. It's what's happened with other companies as well. You know, a couple that come to mind, Minor League Baseball, recognized their players union voluntarily. Microsoft has a neutrality agreement with the CWA. And this bill would actually limit economic development in such a way that it really worries me that, you know, companies like that are not going to be eager to do business in Alabama anymore. Right? Because they have chosen a different path. They have chosen to have a little bit more collaborative path with the unions, as opposed to forcing a costly, unnecessary, potentially divisive election on the workforce. Obviously, the bottom line is the intent of this bill is not just to delay the process of unionization, but to encourage union busting, right? To give the companies time to conduct anti-union campaigns, to make it clear that the state of Alabama expects them to oppose union organizing in their workforce, which I feel is just a direct affront to our labor movement. And I think a reaction to the fact that we're winning and we have growing momentum here in Alabama and across the South.
Yeah. I was just talking about the Mercedes vote on Friday, and we could get into that briefly. But going back to what's going on there, you know, the GOP historically has been a pro-business party. I mean, that's a fact. This is not what you call pro-business, as you pointed out. There's companies that want to cooperate with unions. And the other part about you mentioned about the fact that this may not be legal. Let's start right there, if you don't mind. Don't you think that if a lawmaker is going to pass legislation that is pretty radical, and this is pretty radical, don't you think that they would do some homework as to whether or not it would be legal? I don't think any of that happened down there, did it?
No, not that I can tell. I mean, there's been very little engagement with the public, with stakeholders. I don't believe there's been, you know, much research or homework done at all, frankly. You know, it's a federally protected right to get a union through voluntary recognition. And so to take that away through the use of state incentives, like you said, it is a drastic move, and it's one that will inevitably end up in the courts. I'm not a lawyer. I can't tell you whether or not it'll be struck down. And, of course, our judges in this country are so unreliable for working people, I mean, to put it mildly. That said, I can almost assure listeners that it will end up in court. Folks will challenge this. Alabama's taxpayers will yet again be spending our tax dollars that we don't have a lot of on defending our legislation in court. That seems to be a common pattern here in Alabama. Many of our legislators are never intimidated by the risk of violating federal law when they create these bills, which is really unfortunate because it's a disservice to the people that they're supposed to serve. And, you know, I will say just in terms of the fight against this, we had a public hearing last week, and it was obvious that many of the legislators had no idea what they were voting on. There was so much misinformation that was uttered, both by sitting legislators on the committee in the state Senate, as well as the corporate lobbyists who were there in support of this bill. There were two corporate lobbyists who signed up to speak for it, one from out of state, one from Michigan, and the other was with the builders and contractors. We had 16 folks on our side who signed up to speak, and we could have had more. They cut the list off at 16. We were all regular working folks from across the state. Once they saw the disparity in the list, they called in a backup and sent another corporate lobbyist down there to speak, so that gave them three speakers. They limited us to only three speakers. Even though we had 16 folks, we packed the room. We had folks in the hallway, in the overflow. Union folks from across the state, so many different unions were represented. CWA, UAW, AFGE, iron workers, you name it. You know, it was a really great crowd of folks who came to have their voice heard. And the state Senate committee was intent on limiting discussion. They did not give us an opportunity to be heard. And like I said, it was obvious they did not understand card check. They didn't understand the difference between card check and an election. They uttered a lot of misinformation about unions and the impact of unions, and they also clearly didn't understand the realities of NLRB elections, which, again, as most of your listeners know, are rife with abuse from companies. There was a lot of talk about coercion, but we know the coercion comes from the company side. Nearly half of all NLRB elections feature unfair labor practices from the company. Nearly 20% of NLRB elections feature an organizer getting fired for organizing, right? Mm-hmm. That's the reality of coercion, but that's not what was said at the public hearing.
So where are we? This was introduced. Is it gaining traction? Is it in committee? Where do we stand with this, Adam?
Yeah, so it had the state Senate committee hearing last week. It was approved on a straight party line vote, unfortunately, 11-3. So it goes before the full state Senate this week. Looks like it did not make it on the vote yesterday. So Thursday is probably when it's going to be up for a vote. Right now, we're just really rallying the troops. We're trying to get everybody in our labor movement, as well as our allies, to contact their senators, make sure there's plenty of opposition to this bill, make sure they feel the pressure. You know, we're trying to get phone calls, emails, letters, and in-person visits to the, you know, greatest extent possible with these senators. And if it passes out of the Senate, then of course we'll have to do this whole process all over again on the House side. It'll go before committee. We'll, of course, request a hearing. We'll pack that hearing. And we'll try to slow this sucker down. The good news is there's only 10 legislative days left in the session, and so it's just a matter of running out the clock and who gets to this first. And our hope is that with overwhelming opposition from working people in the state, that we can really slow this thing down and at least live to fight another year.
Yeah, Yeah. And the crazy thing, this could prevent businesses from locating in the state of Alabama. They just don't seem to get that. So sad. So sad. Adam Keller joining us on our live line today. He is the co-host and co-producer of the Valley Labor Report. Do check out their website, tvlr.fm. Later in the show, we're going to go to Salt Lake City and check in with the business manager of Insulators Local 69. That would be Steve Overby. We'll be back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Alliance for American Manufacturing is a nonprofit, nonpartisan partnership formed back in 2007 by some of America's leading manufacturers and the United Steelworkers. Their mission is simple: strengthen American manufacturing and create new private sector jobs through smart public policies. Key word there is smart. We need to be smarter than ever in today's highly competitive world. The Alliance for American Manufacturing believes that an innovative and growing manufacturing base is vital to America's economic and national security, as well as providing good jobs for future generations. Good jobs today, good jobs tomorrow. Good American jobs. Find out more at AmericanManufacturing.org. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you could find more at teamster.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
The Ironworkers Great Lakes District Council, consisting of 8 ironworker local unions in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan. We build the skylines and bridges along the Great Lakes. With more work than ever before, the Great Lakes District Council is actively searching out the next great ironworker. Whether it's building the next Intel plant or constructing a bridge to safely connect our great cities along the lake. So join the Ironworkers Great Lakes District Council today. Find out how and learn more about the council by visiting iwdistrictcouncil.com. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least 5 platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those 5-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers, oh.aft.org is their website. We'll be checking in with them next Tuesday. Right now, let's go back to the state of Alabama. Rejoin Adam Keller, co-host of the Valley Labor Report. I know you want to talk about this seminar, kind of like a seminar that you did recently at the end of March, Unions 101, and it's all about education. We got to educate our members. We got to, whether you're union, non-union, you got to know what's going on, because as you pointed out in the last segment, there's a lot of misinformation out there, too much misinformation. Before we do that, though, I was reading earlier about the UAW. They filed on Friday for an election. And this was after they got a supermajority of workers to sign authorization cards. And I know they've been fighting a very anti-union climate down there. And apparently, Mercedes brought in Nick Saban, recently retired Alabama, legendary football coach. But I guess he kind of did a tap dance. What's the story on that, Adam?
Yeah, that's what I've heard, that he was very, very careful with his wording and did not want to appear to be, you know, taking sides. obviously, when I first heard that they brought in Nick Saban, you know, that the company brought in Nick Saban, I was just terrified that he was going to be doing some union busting because, as you said, it's been a really tough campaign. There's been a lot of hostility from the company and also from just the broader political and business class in Alabama. So, yeah, I was very concerned about that because Nick Saban is by far the most popular human being in the state of Alabama. There's just no disputing that. The man's a legend. He's, you know, the greatest football coach, arguably, that we've ever seen. And there is a significant amount of personal loyalty to the man, so much so that a lot of people have speculated he ought to run for governor here. But, yeah, I was concerned. I was a little bit relieved that it wasn't as bad as we thought it could have been, certainly. But as you pointed out, it's been a really tough campaign, and the fact that UAW has received a super majority of support from employees signing cards despite this opposition is really, really impressive and speaks to the organizing that they're doing. I mean, it is almost every single day that a new op-ed comes out in Alabama media bashing the UAW, bashing unions, bashing workers who organize. I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I say it's nearly every day, at least in one outlet or another, and they have trotted out current politicians, former politicians, even some faith leaders that they've got involved with this. It's really an overwhelming amount of propaganda is being unleashed on the population. So, you know, that makes organizers' jobs that much harder. It makes it that much harder for rank and file workers to figure out the truth and what's going on. And so, yeah, to your point, that's why education is so, so critical.
Well, let's talk about that because I know you gathered a number of people, including, I see someone from the Economic Policy Institute. That is a great, great resource there. Those of you listening to the show, epi.org, they do a ton of research on workers, union, non-union, the differences between the two. So talk to me about Unions 101. This was a webinar for the general public. Talk to me about it, Adam.
Yeah, Unions 101 for Sweet Home Alabama is what we called it. I worked with Jennifer Shearer from the Economic Policy Institute. Couldn't agree more. It's a fantastic outfit. They do a lot of work with us at Alabama Arise. And I knew Jennifer through the Valley Labor Report already and got with her. And I knew she did a fantastic Unions 101 presentation for different groups, whether it's students or nonprofit, allies, you know, just various constituencies. So I asked her if we could do one for the general public up in Alabama, down in Alabama, and opened it up to current union members, but also curious workers, as well as, you know, potential allies, people who maybe support unions vaguely, but don't really know why or don't really understand why they're a positive force in society. And so I was really impressed with the turnout. We had several dozen folks come. It was a great, you know, diverse mix of folks. I mean, we had people who are leaders in campaigns, from the Amazon campaign in Bessemer to the Hyundai campaign in Montgomery, who were also, you know, paired up with total newbies who knew nothing about unions. And I love, you know, I just love making those connections and getting people talking to each other. I really enjoyed the presentation, and we're going to do more and more outreach like this. We're going to do some in-person training as well with the North Alabama Area Labor Council because, as I said, the amount of propaganda, the amount of misinformation, the amount of, you know, longstanding cultural bias in some cases, particularly here in the South, we have to overcome that. And also, you know, connect that to the work that we're doing here on the radio with the Valley Labor Report, with America's Workforce. I think that the work that we're doing here is really, really important. We have to get this message out, you know, a message of worker solidarity, a message of collective organization and collective action, and the truth about unions and why they're important and why workers need unions and why, frankly, the bosses and politicians fight us so hard. We've got to get those facts out. And so that's why I really appreciate what you do, Flash, and America's Workforce Radio. And I believe in what we're doing on the Valley Labor Report. I think we have to be active in every sphere. We have to do webinars, we have to do in-person trainings, but we have to be active in the media as well, because the far right, the corporate interest, they have long understood how to play the media game. They took over talk radio a long time ago, and it's time for us to take it back. And so I know a lot of labor leaders listen to your show, and I hope they'll hear my call when I say that, now is the time to invest in labor media, and in particular in labor radio. We have to make sure that our message is getting out there to folks, that we're amplifying the voices of working people and not just politicians and corporate interests.
You know, the crazy thing about all this, Adam, is people support unions. I mean, you've probably seen the polling. The AFL-CIO has done polling. Gallup has done polling. Right now, unions have the highest favorability in something like 50, 60 years, like close to 70%, despite the right-wing media. And you know how prominent, you just mentioned how prominent they've taken over talk radio. But still, people support unions. We just need to grow that. And if they had the opportunity, if there weren't so many roadblocks to organizing, the captive audience meetings and all that, oh my gosh, that what the AFL-CIO figures at 12.4 million members, and not all the unions are member, most of them are members of the AFL-CIO, that number would probably triple if given the opportunity. There's no question. There's no question in my mind. So talk to me about the takeaway here. This was one of many. It sounds like you're going to do this again and again and again. But is there any game plan on how we can expand our audience here?
Well, I think we have to keep reaching out to institutions, our labor unions, and, reach out to leaders and make sure we get their support and their buy-in for really broad outreach, both in the media and with education. I think we got to get everybody, as many people as possible, on board with the real need, because, as you said, we have a huge opportunity in front of us. We have broad popular support like we haven't seen in a long time. We have got to tap into that, and we've got to make sure that we're building the infrastructure to make it long-lasting and to seize on this momentum. So, yeah, I would encourage anyone listening, talk to your leadership and your unions. Get them on board with supporting both education and outreach efforts, whether that's in the schools, reaching out to young people, doing general popular education for the public, but also getting involved in labor media and ensuring that, we're having a louder voice in the public arena.
And get involved in schools. It's so important. I know the building trades do a pretty good job trying to get young people to go into their apprenticeship programs, but we got to go beyond that and make sure that people understand the union difference. There is a thing called the union difference. You make a whole lot more money in a union. The benefits are better. The security, retirement security, is does not exist in many places today other than a union. So it's important. But your show's doing pretty good. I mentioned 4 radio stations, 3 states, YouTube, Facebook. It's been growing as well, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have more than doubled our audience from where we were this time last year. And that's just been really exciting to see. We're hoping that we can grow our radio footprint. Right now, we're in Huntsville. We're in the Shoals area in northwest Alabama. We're also in Whitesburg, Kentucky, and New Orleans, Louisiana. But we'd really love to get into some key radio targets where there's active organizing campaigns like Chattanooga and Montgomery and Tuscaloosa, some of these areas where there are momentous campaigns happening, and we'd love to be on the airwaves there. And there's opportunities, I think, for us to expand into a daily radio show as well and kind of learn from what y'all are doing and adapt some of that. But all of that takes resources, and we are a very scrappy grassroots operation. We're lucky to break even each month, but we do the best we can, thanks to some of the unions that do sponsor us, and we have some really fantastic people who are individual donors, who are actually our largest single source of revenue is from individual donations, and I really am proud of that and so appreciative of just you know, the rank and file supporters out there who see value in the project, who appreciate the content that we're putting out and the guests that we're interviewing, and are willing to, you know, chip in a couple bucks here and there just to help us sustain the program. So really hoping to see some more growth, looking forward to working with anybody possible, always down to collaborate, always down to interview new folks and connect with new people. As long as we're getting the message out and engaging with new people, that's what counts.
There you go. Valley Labor Report on the move, no doubt about that. Do check them out. TVLR.fm, TVLR.fm. Adam, always a pleasure. You take care. Stay in touch. We'll talk to you down the road. Okay, brother?
Thanks, brother, as always. Love and solidarity from Alabama.
Quick break. When we come back, we're going to go to Salt Lake City and check in with Insulators Local 69.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans, and we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers, and we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at UAW.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. For more information, please visit bmwe.org. America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to Salt Lake City. You know, I've been doing a lot of interviews here on America's Workforce. I don't think I talked to any of the members, union members, in the state of Utah. And I know Utah is not what you call a union-friendly state, and we're going to do more on that. But joining us on our live line right now is Stephen Overby. Now, Stephen is with the Insulators, Local 69. They're based in Salt Lake. Their jurisdiction is quite impressive. The state of Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, and Nevada. And Steve has been an insulator. He started the apprenticeship program in 2010, and for the last 4 years, he has served as business manager. So, Steve, welcome to the show. Let me ask you real quick here. How do you like being business manager? And especially in that area of the United States, like I said, it's not what you call real union friendly, probably just the opposite, but how are things going for you?
Luckily, for the insulators, our work's been maintaining pretty steadily, especially in the Idaho area. Utah, we're still, like you said, right to work state, kind of getting our foothold on, but with our organizing efforts, they've been looking positive and going in the right direction on some of these projects. But yeah, we're just moving along, just organizing and getting our name out there for the insulators.
And you're at, what, 100 members right now? Where would you like to see that number go to?
We're going to get up in the 200s, hopefully, with all the work coming in our jurisdiction. Like you said, it was a pretty mass jurisdiction, and we got projects going up in Wyoming. Idaho has some two big projects. Utah has quite a bit of projects coming, and Nevada, kind of with all the gold mines going on, keeps us pretty steady as well.
That's good. That's real good. Yeah, I see there's an airport job in Salt Lake. And Olympics, now that's way out there. That's another 10 years away, but I'll get to that in a minute. The one I want to talk about here is Micron technology. Apparently, Micron struck a union deal for the construction of a $15 billion chip-making facility. And I'll tell you, we're seeing a lot of that happen in the United States, and that is a darn good thing because we want stuff made in America again. And a lot of these were in China, Vietnam, India. I mean, some of them still are, but it's important that they happen here. And it's happening because of good policy coming out of Washington. Let's be honest about that. But talk to me about Micron here. I know this is a biggie for you. What's this going to mean for Local 69?
Well, like you said, this is probably one of the bigger projects that our locals had in our lifetime. And like you said, with the PLA project labor agreement that was signed with Micron and the building trades out there in Boise. It just puts a lot of good work, good paying jobs for our members and other members of other unions for that economy out there in Boise as well. Micron, you know, they said they're going to be putting money towards their economy and create jobs within that community. And also Micron will employ people within their own building.
Now, do you know anything, some of the nitty-gritty in that deal to get the PLA? You know, these things just don't happen. I mean, you got to put a lot of work into them. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, luckily our building trades president up there put in all the hard work trying to negotiate with Micron, getting us other local affiliated unions with the building trades together and going over it, going over all the PLAs and the details, and then finally coming to an agreement. It took a lot of negotiating on their part of going back and forth with Micron and trying to find the right deal that would better serve our members out there on the field.
Now, how many jobs are we talking about? Now, I know you're speaking on behalf of the insulators, your local 69. How many jobs? And maybe you could be specific on what you'll be doing at that Micron plant.
Well, I've heard over that lifetime of that project, you know, it could bring up to 17,000 new Idaho jobs in that area and 2,000 directly for Micron facility on the maintenance side and probably within their own clean room fab. But it is going to be a clean room fab. That's where they make those microchip wafers, and they have a system on, you know, construction workers going in and out of the fab. You have to know how to gown up, clean up, and keep your materials clean, and most of the work we have to actually prefab and bring up and then put it together up in the clean room. And it's certain different aspect of how we normally do our job on a daily basis on other projects, basically.
So I assume that mechanical insulation, which was what the insulators are known for, that's pretty important in a plant like Micron's?
Yeah, exactly. Not only for personnel protection, some of those clean room units get very hot with the process piping going in there. So not only for personal protection, but the environmental aspect of it all. You know, that's what we are, energy conservation specialists. So keeping that, whatever system is there, hot, cold, keeping that same temperature and keeping those in there with the system so it runs efficiently for a longer and better lifetime.
So, Steve, where are we with this? I mean, is this about to happen? I know you just pretty much put the deal together. Do you have a timetable on all this?
So the PLA has been signed by Micron and the NAB2 building trades. So everything's going forward on that. The work has started. We actually have people, the ground's been dug, walls are being built. We're insulators, not going to probably see anything probably till later this fall.
once they get more of the systems up and going. But work's actively going, and contractors are getting asked to bid work, and bids are going out, and it's moving forward.
Yeah. And again, we have to point out, this wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for the CHIPS Act. We're talking $39 billion. $39 billion in direct grants, as well as loans and loan guarantees that total about $75 billion to support semiconductor manufacturing and also projects in the supply chain. So good policy means good jobs, especially good union jobs. I want to switch gears here. I guess Meta, which is known as Facebook as well, they have a project about to kick off. What do we know about that right now, Steve?
Yeah, up in the Boise, Idaho area as well is the Meta project that's been underground going. I got a couple guys there doing the preliminary work, like I said, doing the underground piping, getting it going. And then same as here in the Salt Lake, they got a Meta project, and that's going to be on the next phase. So that's a project that's been going for a couple years that's kind of getting on to the last phases, where that one in Idaho is a newer Meta project, just kind of barely getting started. And kind of their same issue is competing for manpower. So there's rumors that there possibly could be another PLA set to kind of match what Micron's doing, just because they know the workforce that's going to be needed in the Idaho area.
So with that being said, raising a few eyebrows here about getting people involved, especially in your craft, which is the insulators, I'm just wondering, how are we doing? I know there's some areas of the country where they're struggling, and that seems to be changing now, especially with these CHIPS plants, because we're talking, you can make a really, really good chunk of money here right off the bat when you get in the apprenticeship programs. And you know that. I mean, you were in the program mm-hmm. not too long ago. But how are we doing in that area attracting people into the trades, especially yours?
Luckily, with a lot of effort of organizing, not only within our own local organization, but our international heat and frost insulators have been doing a lot of footwork too, getting our name out there. And we've been receiving calls. The word of mouth is definitely getting out there, where, like you said, with Utah being a right-to-work state, there's still a lot of mechanical insulators out there. And with our name getting out there, they're starting to hear who we are and what the benefits are worth, and just reaching out to us and trying to get in the fold and receiving applications every day and putting them to work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad that it's right-to-work, and there's so many states, almost half of America, but some of that's changing. We know what happened in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Earlier this year. You get the right people in office and good things can happen. Okay, another question I want to throw at you here. We got the Olympics happening. Is that, I take it they're going to happen in Salt Lake City in 2034. Is that right?
Well, it's up for bid. Anything could happen, but I know Salt Lake City is hopeful. And obviously that's where that Salt Lake City airport, they're doing a big expansion right now. It's on the third phase, I believe, right now. And potentially if Salt Lake does get the bid for the Utah Winter Olympics there, in 2034, that could actually open up another phase that they're willing to construction, and it could be another 6 to 8 years expansion to that airport, which is luckily we got some good union contractors out there to keep us busy.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe Salt Lake did host the Winter Games some years back, so they got some experience under their belt, but boy, that's cool. So the airport, you said phase three, is that it, or is there going to be a phase four as well?
Yeah, that phase four would be that expansion if we get the Olympics. Phase three is about to start, and that's another thing that's going to keep us busy here in the next few years as well. That's about 2 to 3 years worth of work that's about to start.
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of good things happening, and it's all happening in that area of the country. We're talking about Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, and Nevada, and that is the jurisdiction for the insulators, Local 69. Their business manager joining us on our live line today, Stephen Overby, who's been business manager for 4 years now. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work. You mentioned organizing. I don't want to hold you up. You said you're 100 members, and we want you to get to 200 as soon as possible. And the way things are looking here with all this work, I think that that is very real in the not too distant future. Okay, my brother, you take care. Stay in touch with us, okay?
I will. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And that'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the Smart Rail Division and the North Shore Federation of Labor. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.